this prayer, this verse of Scripture, which is a prayer, I think we should pray that prayer when we enter into a quiet time. This prayer assumes three things. One thing it assumes is that God can instruct the human mind. God can instruct the human mind, and He can speak to us not just as a congregation or through creeds and through things we read from other people like Billy Graham or whatever books we read, but He can speak to us individually, just in His presence, Him talking to us. That's what this verse assumes. A second thing that it assumes is that humans can choose to obey God. They can actually hear from God, and they can respond and do what He says. That's what this verse assumes, that if God will show me what I'm supposed to do, I can do it, or I will do it. That's a second assumption. And the third assumption is this, that we need help in staying on track in our relationship with God. Our hearts, as I said earlier, get divided between different distractions, and sometimes we need to refocus. Well, God will help us to refocus. I was at a CFO camp, which Rosemary and I go to about every year, maybe sometimes twice or three times. We've been, sometimes it's three camps we go to, but lately it's been one or two. And in CFO camps, they have a thing called creatives, and one of them is creative writing, where you can actually pray to God, ask Him to give you something, and then you write it down or whatever you're thinking, and then you can share it with everybody, and hopefully it'll uplift people. Well, I was doing that, and I was waiting on some word from the Lord, before I began writing, and that's what He gave me, word. I said, okay, all right, now, word. Come on, isn't there anything else? Word. So, you know something? W-O-R-D, word. God can use a very small word to teach us how to live. And that's what He did, using the letters of the word, word. And we'll start with W. W is worship. That's what I got from this thing. Worship is actually love at its highest level. In French, it's adorer. Worship means adorer, to adore. And you adore, you worship God. Adoration. We can show our adoration of God's personality through praise. We can praise Him as a person. This is in the Psalms. There are lots of examples of this in Psalm 117, which is a short psalm. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And then in Psalm 108, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Praising God's personality. We can also show our adoration of God's presence with prayer. And it reminds me of a man named Praying Hyde. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Has anybody heard of Praying Hyde? Yeah, Rosemary has. Well, this fellow was known for prayer. And basically, he was a preacher, but he was known for prayer. And people would pray with him, and they would be amazed because they'd say, let's have a time of prayer. And he would stop. And he would pause for a long, long time. And then he would say, oh, God. Because he had come into the presence of God. In a way that we don't. Sometimes I know I just go real quick popcorn prayers, you know, and go right into God's presence and just like, but whose presence am I in? I'm in the presence of the living God who created all things. Amen. This is no little light thing. This is a big deal. And so praying high, he would stop and he would wait. And then when his heart was united and undivided in the presence of God, then he would pray. I think we need that kind of thing of adoring the presence of God in prayer. And we can show our adoration of God's provision for us, for humanity, by proclaiming it to others. We think, well, worship is in the church service. No, worship is a way of life, and it means sharing our faith with other people. What has God done? If it's that good, then I should share the good news with other people. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. That's how we got saved. That's how we came to know God, through proclamation, through preaching. So Christ's cross proves God's love in a very immense way. It's just fantastic. We celebrate this table because we are celebrating God's love for us. His absolute, he went all the way to death and also hell. It says he descended into hell, he ascended into heaven. And our adoration, our love for him, our worship of him, what it does, it's like a response. It's, we worship him in return for how he has loved us. And that's the proper response to a loving God, that we worship him. But that worship will also keep our heart focused in reverent faith on God. Undivided attention. That's W. O, obedience. O is for obedience. And obedience in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it means hearkening, hearing, listening. And that's very interesting because we listen in several ways. We listen with our intellect. We listen with our intellect by studying God's Word. By studying God's Word and adopting it as our worldview. You know, everybody has a worldview. They say, oh, I don't have a philosophy. Yes, you do. Everybody does. It's a worldview. How does everything in the world and in life fit together? And what really happens with a lot of people is they really don't have a good worldview because they don't spend any time thinking about how things fit together, and what they usually do is leave something out. I think the atheist has left out a lot of stuff in his philosophy, because basically they say all that exists is just this world. Well, what about near-death experiences, ghosts, angels' appearances, guidance from God, you know, things like that? Oh, well, those are just superstition. Oh, well, until it happens to them. And then they get converted. And they say, well, it's real. I said, it was real before, and you didn't believe it. So some people's worldviews are sort of boxed in, and they're not open to the whole of life. And so we look at the Bible and we start saying, you know, everything fits. Everything fits together. It's a good worldview. So we need to see how everything fits together. We also listen with our heart. We listen with our heart by meditating on God's Word, letting it mold our own attitudes and our own passions in life. And how do we do that? We mold them according to what we find of the heart and the mind of God in Scripture. We want His heart. We want His attitude. And we get that from reading and meditating. Not just reading it quickly, but stopping and let it sink into our hearts. We listen also and hear the Lord through our will. Through our will. So we've got intellect, and we've got our heart, our emotions, and we've got our will. And how we do that is by practicing God's Word. Putting it into practice. Embracing it, not just in our thoughts, or in our feelings, in our heart, but in our words and our actions and how we speak and in how we live our lifestyle. Now, if obedience means listening, then we can't just do these things mechanically and just go through the motions of right behavior. God calls us not just to a list of rules. He calls us to live out holiness from the heart. And so it's really important for us to obey from the heart. We hear with our hearts. We hear with our mind, our hearts, and our will, the whole of our life. We are hearing and obeying. That's W-O. Now R. R. Rest. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? Rest. It means peaceful relaxing. That's what rest is manifested in these ways. By peaceful relaxation, trusting, and waiting. Waiting patiently. We rest in God by remembering His care for us. In Psalm 116 it says, "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord hath been good to you." When our peace is disrupted by changing circumstances, upsetting circumstances, we can regain our peace by recalling God's blessings to us in the past. What has God done for us? How has He been good to us? You know, there's psychological therapy in that song called Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When we are distracted, sometimes how we can refocus and get our hearts undivided from all these different distractions, all these upsetting things, or attractive things that just take our attention away from God. How we can get our hearts back on track is to count our blessings. Go over the account. Make sure, and sometimes it's good to write these down so that we can go over them. Maybe read the journal about, oh, I wrote that a year ago when God did this for me. Journals are good for that reason. We rest in God by trusting Him to faithfully keep His promises. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, he's very eloquent, and he actually preached this way. I don't know if I could ever preach this way. Here's what he says. The same God who directs the earth in its orbit, who feeds the burning furnace of the sun, and trims the lamps of heaven, has promised to supply thee with thy daily need and with daily strength. While He is able to uphold the universe, dream not that He will prove unable to fulfill His own promises to you. You know, I love Spurgeon because of the way his flowery language. But the point is this. If God's running this universe, He can also provide for our needs. We need to trust Him. And that's our way of resting in Him. Another way that we rest in God is by waiting on His timing. Waiting on His timing. Isaiah 30. 18, and I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation because I looked in the translations and I like this one the best. And listen to this. This is a little twist, a little turn when you read this. So the Lord must wait for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for His help. Now, Milton said this. He said, they also serve who only stand and wait. How many have heard that line before? They also serve who only stand and wait. You know, he was blind, and so he didn't get to serve the way he wanted to, but he had to stand and wait a lot. And you know what? God does the same thing. This whole relationship with God is reciprocal. It's God's also waiting on us. Waiting on us to come to Him, to seek Him, to wait upon Him. He's waiting for us to serve Him. And part of that service is to wait on Him. And that's why I quoted Milton. Waiting is not easy. It's not an easy job if we are anxious about something, because anxiety is hard to get rid of. You know, in this sense, we may have to work at resting in God. You say, rest is work. Yeah, it's a work. If we think about that, I've got to stop obsessing. I've got to stop having anxiety about something. That's not easy to do sometimes. But when we rest in God, we wait on His timing. You know, we pray for this, Lord. Now we rest in God and wait on His timing. Emily Steele was a lady who wrote an allegory. It's a short allegory called Expectation Corner. And in this allegory of Expectation Corner, there was this guy named Adam Slowman. Now, it's funny. Adam, you know, Adam and Eve. And slow man, slow to get things, you know, slow to understand. Well, anyway, so she had this allegory, Adam Slowman. And what Adam Slowman finds is that he finds this place called the delayed blessings office. Now, this is where God keeps certain things prayed for, things that have been prayed for, until the right time to send them. The delayed blessings office. And here's what she says. We must learn to wait on the Lord, realizing that delays aren't always denials. There are unknown mysteries of love and wisdom in God's timing. We often want to pick God's mercies green when He wants us to wait so He can send them when they're ripe. And you know what? God's timing is perfect. So we should wait upon Him. There's a poem called Wait on the Lord. I don't know who the author is, but I'll read it. Not so in haste, my heart. Have faith in God and wait. Although He linger long, He never comes too late. He never comes too late. He knoweth what is best. Vex not thyself in vain until He cometh. Rest. Until He cometh, rest, nor grudge the hours that roll. The feet that wait for God are soonest to their goal. That's a beautiful little poem. W-O-R. Now we have the last letter, D. Deliverance. Deliverance. Deliverance is salvation, it's freedom, and it's rescue. In Psalm 116 again, I read from that earlier, verse 8. For You, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Those cover three areas of our lives. God delivers us from death. You know, our spiritual death is Satan's primary objective. And, you know, we read Romans 3:23. And in Romans 3:23, it talks about death, but there's a crucial contrast that we need to see in that. Yes, the wages of sin is death. That's true. That's a reality that we cannot ignore. But, and you know it's always important to look at the buts in life. There are many of them. And I tell you what, when you see these buts... I know, I love puns, but when you see them, take note, because God is making a contrast. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the reality of the good news for us and for all humanity. That's really important. God delivers us from death, and He delivers us and sets us free from tears. From tears. Now, when Satan can't keep us dead in our sins and our trespasses, he has a backup plan. Satan always has backup plans, just like God does too. If God gives them life, I'll make it so they can't enjoy it. You know? That's what Satan, he'll try to take our joy away. But, Jesus says this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And when we are with the person who has overcome the world, we're safe. And he can wipe away our tears. God also, his deliverance rescues us from stumbling. That's what the other word in that scripture is. And in Psalm 116, stumbling. God rescues us from stumbling. Now, Satan trips us up. His specialty is deceptive darkness. You can trip, you can fall, you can stumble in the darkness. But God's specialty is guiding light. Guiding light. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word, there's that word again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God wants to guide us. He wants to teach us so that we can walk in His truth. He wants to guide us. God can use a very small word, like the word word. He can use a very small word to teach us. Now, I know this is like, you know, made up in a sense. I think I got these things from God. But this word could be an acrostic for a whole bunch of other spiritual lessons from different other words. But these four areas that I've touched upon, I've mentioned in this, because I just mentioned them, these are not whole sermons on any of these subjects. They do help do one thing. They help fulfill the latter part of our text. And that latter part is this. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Worship, obedience, rest, deliverance, they each contribute to uniting our hearts with a reverent faith in God, the fear of the Lord. Now, Satan tries to conquer us by dividing our hearts. But by adoring our Creator, by absorbing His truth, by anticipating His watch care, by accessing His deliverance, we build into our lives a united front against the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's like we have a very good offense and defense in this battle of life. We can win through Christ. By teaching us His truth, God is planting a garden in the soil of our hearts. And that leaves no ground for Satan to work. If we have it all cultivated as ground in our garden of the Lord with His truth, Satan has no ground to work in our lives. So in view of this that I've shared with you today, in view of this word, W-O-R-D, worship, obedience, rest, and deliverance, we need to spend our time daily, every day, spend our time daily in our heart's garden, cultivating our heart's garden. That's what we need to do, cultivating it with the Word of God. That'll be a blessing to us. That'll be a blessing in our hearts. But it'll also be a blessing to the other people that we come into contact with who they need that garden in their heart as well, cultivated with the Word of God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this word to us today. And Lord, may we take it, this very small word that you are teaching to us, may we take it and live it. And live it not just for ourselves, but live it for this community as a church, but live it for those around us. Because, Lord, they need your good news as well. They need your love. And they need to worship and obey and rest in you and the deliverance that is so necessary for their lives. So, Father God, I pray that you would bless us as we depart. Thank you again. We give thanksgiving for this Eucharist feast, this table of your remembrance. And we pray, Father God, that we will live the life that you have given to us through your own life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.